Welcome to another edition of Father Time. I'm really excited about today. This is one of our few ones we've done late in the day.
I'm sleepy.
I know you
are. It's like midnight.
It's pretty close to midnight. It's 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
And here's what we normally do them during the day, and I don't have to worry about the kids, but it's so great tonight because I got rid of the kids.
I don't know how you do that. It is 6 o'clock.
I don't know where they are.
Yeah, 6 o'clock is food time. It's bedtime. It's like bath time. There's always something.
My wife's
but tonight,
me.
It's Matt time.
It's Matt time. My guest today, you know, two-time Emmy winner.
How did we get him here?
We'll get into that. I'm talking to my producer and partner, Mr. Andy Lerner.
Good afternoon.
Me today.
Well, good evening.
And our guest today is the co-creator of, the big one is, of course, Robot Chicken, which I think is the seed that created everything else. Supermansion. There's a everything that's ever been on Adult Swim and Titan Maximum. Every Star Wars animated product that's been had.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
Pretty close. Star Wars Detours
Robot Chicken
is coming.
No.
My guest today is the co-creator of Robot Chicken, which I was fortunate enough to do, Mr. Matthew Senreich.
Pronounced it correctly. I'm
excellent pronunciation.
We had to talk about it.
Yeah, talk beforehand.
Of a foreign language.
We'll get into that because obviously it's kind of a funny thing because even you were like, well, my father says it differently. My grandfather says
it differently. Everyone likes to mess it up. And I should preface this that Jamie and I go way back to the day when even before Robot Chicken started. Like it goes way back. We were doing webisodes before the web existed.
That's right.
And Jamie was one of our first characters on the show. He played our bloopers host.
I was lucky because by the time you guys got too big, I would have never gotten in. The only way I got in, and I was telling Andy before you came over, was this is how it worked. I was shooting a pilot called Kilroy that Clooney created with Chad Morgan, was one of the other actors on it, and she was dating Seth Green at the time, many, many years ago. And Seth, we met, and he's like, hey, I'm working on these little webisode things. You want to come over and do some voices in my garage? And I was like, sure, why not?
Oh, God, you just took me out on a memory lane of all these people, yes.
And so I go into a garage up in the hills, and Seth is very nice. Everybody's very cool. I don't know anybody. I walk in. I do a couple voices. He goes, hey, thanks. If anything ever comes of it, I'll call you. And I was like, yeah. You hear that in Hollywood pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And to his credit, 3 years later, I hadn't seen Seth in 3 years. My phone rang.
Really?
And Seth goes, hey, we got picked up and we're making a show and you're doing a voice, so come on in. And I was like, okay.
For me, the flip side of this is I always thought that you and Seth were just like BFFs. I thought you guys hung out all the time.
That's not true.
I really
is
did.
Is that true?
Honestly did. I thought you were part of that like Brecken crew.
You think I'm
crew.
Cool enough to hang with that
I
crew?
Thought it was like, yeah, it was like Seth and Brecken and like, no. Yeah, it just tied into that whole little world.
I wish it was in that crew.
No, so I just assumed that when, again, we made like 12 little episodes for Sony Digital called Screen Blast, and it was in like 99, 2000. So it was all dial-up. No one could ever see these things. So we made these things. And I showed my friends, but I couldn't even show people online because I couldn't download them. And somehow it made it to the air 4 years later. And I remember it being like, we have to get Jamie to come back in to do the voice.
Crazy
and
stuff.
And he was just like, oh yeah, no problem. He made it to sound like you guys had this like shorthanded hangout.
So yeah.
I've learned a lot.
I hadn't heard from him in 3 years. But I feel
that
like that's how he works. And
yes.
It's obvious when I come in to record voices.
Well,
or whatever,
he knows everybody.
He knows everybody. But
yeah.
He's also been doing this since he was three years old.
Yeah, exactly.
3 years old.
Yeah.
And it's always, everything with him is that easy, it feels like. Is it when you do stuff, it feels like, oh yeah, don't worry, I'll take care of that.
It feels like that until you see, I think I'm the only person who gets to see like stress Seth. You know, like he'll shut the door, he'll take a deep breath, and then I'll just hear all of it. And then I feel like I'm his therapist. And then he'll open the door and it's all smiles
again. It's all smiles. Like, so you're the sounding board.
I think so. He just likes to punch
Seth
me.
Seth Green has a dark side.
He does. Yeah. I know. Go figure.
He should be like a Batman villain at some
that would
point.
Be amazing.
Robot Chicken is going forever and ever. It's just an amazing. And now that you guys have started Stupid Buddies Studios.
Yes.
And you're making Supermansion and
we're making a ton of yeah.
Ton
this
of
has been a whirlwind of a situation where we started with Robot Chicken, we were making one show, and then all of a sudden we somehow started a company that was an animation studio, and it spiraled into many shows. And so we just did a show called Buddy Thunderstruck for Netflix. We're working on a show called Hot Streets for Adult Swim. We're doing some pilots for Freeform, and like
it's crazy.
Yeah, you name a network, I'm sure we're doing a pilot for them. It's like it's crazy how it's just escalated. Yeah, and now anytime
but
we have an idea.
But it kind of shows the success of Robot, because Robot Chicken was, I mean, it started maybe as a cult classic, but I think it was pretty well known. It wasn't like a cult classic that people hadn't heard of. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, Robot Chicken.
It's been surreal, because again, when we started, and this is, takes you way back, when we started in like 99, 2000, toys weren't cool. Comics weren't cool. Like, I don't even think the first Spider-Man movie had come out yet. You know, I started in comic books, and my first job was at Marvel, but it was in 1991, I think it was.
Before
and
they were anybody.
Before that, yeah, and people would make fun of me for working in comic books.
Is that right?
Like, it was like, so I was the geek who went to Marvel Comics, and now I look back going, that was the coolest job in the world, which I thought at the time, but now everyone's like, oh my God, that's awesome. And yeah, just trying to process that.
They're like the biggest studio around, Marvel Studios.
It's beyond insane. Like, the people I started working with are all doing these amazing things, and we all started in the comic book business together. And
what is kind of interesting, talk about that a little bit, because you came up, you did really see it from the beginning when people, you know, like, comic books were kind of the nerdy thing that was like, ah, the guy's comic books, and now comic books rule media.
Yeah, it's a whole, again, I was 16, I remember hearing about an internship in New York for Marvel. My first gig, I had to go in and interview with a bunch of people, and for some reason, I was one of two people to get this job, and I was a high school internship, and all I did was photocopy. But from photocopying, I met a guy named Joe Matarera, who is now one of the top comic book artists in the business, and he was a 16-year-old kid with me working and photocopying the entire time.
Were you an artist, or were you just...
I wanted to be a writer.
You wanted to be a writer.
And I had no idea. Yeah, I had no idea how to write at that time. But a lot of these editors would take you under their wing, and they would teach you what to do. And it ultimately led to a series of internships over the course of, you know, probably 5-6 years. After coming back from college, I would get some sort of internship where I would work at a guy named Jim Shooter, who helped me, you know, write a lot when I was doing this stuff. And then when I graduated, it led to me working at a place called Wizard Magazine, where it was all about, I ended up becoming a magazine writer, oddly, about comic books. So all of a sudden, I was an expert in the industry at 22 years old because I worked at a magazine about comics because the internet didn't exist yet.
But even in high school, you knew that
that's
what you wanted.
Yeah. I mean,
from day one.
Since I was like 10 years old, I would ride my bike to the local magazine shop and pick up comic books, and I was reading them.
This is the hallmark of a comic book geek.
Yes, 100% about being a comic book geek. Again, if I told anyone...
Like playing sports or...
I oddly was playing sports as well. But I like comic books more. I like comic books more. Yes, I was a hockey player. So the two don't go together at all. At all.
At all.
But it was, it was an amazing experience. I loved every second of working in that world.
Well, talk about where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York.
New York.
So I grew up in Long Island. Uh-oh, you're getting yelled at for not using your mic correctly.
Andy will yell at you many times. So you're a Long Island, New York kid.
I'm a Long Island, New York kid. And then I would take the train into Manhattan to do all my internships along the way. I like New York. I miss New York.
I love New York.
Yeah. You're Boston, right?
I am.
Yeah.
We've
had
this
conversation. Yes.
They are, Boston people were always taught to hate New York.
Yes, I know.
And then
we're taught to hate you too.
From a sports perspective, it was never hard.
They used to be like, F New York.
Yeah.
Screw that place. And then you grow up and you go to New York and you're like, this is the greatest place on earth.
Yeah. But I don't think it was actually about the city. I think it was really more about the sports.
It starts with the sports, but now it's a lot of
more
hate.
Of
they hate New York as much.
Yeah. Yankees, Red Sox.
Yeah.
It's all about
that. And now I'm kind of, New York's the best place.
I am. I'm with you. Look,
and my wife there.
Did you really?
We met in Manhattan.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wait, where?
She was living in the East Village.
Okay.
And she was working there, and I was hanging out.
Where in the East Village? Because I love the East Village.
Oh, she was at 10th. She was right above Coyote Ugly.
Oh, my
Literally
God.
Four stories above Coyote Ugly, that horrible, which I would hear the music banging at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd be like, hey.
So 2 blocks away, I'm just going to shout them out, is a place called Crypt Dog, which is probably the best hot dogs in New York, but I would always go back there, and they have like a little, what's it called? Like a speakeasy next door called PDT, and it's one of the greatest places in the world. So next time you go back there, you should check that place out.
Well, we have kids. We're never, ever going back there.
My wife and I, we went back there. We left the kids with my parents. Mm-hmm. We went out in the city. We went to that place, and next thing you know, it was 4 a.m, and we're having these amazing hot dogs while, drinking up a stupor till 3 a.m. It was the greatest thing ever.
We're actually going there over the holiday, because her parents live in Jersey, so we're going to leave the kids. she goes, hey, we're going back to Jersey for Christmas. I go, I'm not going back to Jersey for Christmas. And then she goes, well, my parents can watch the kids. We can go in the city for a couple of days. That's... I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go to Jersey. For
So, we're so you're learning. Like two, there you go. Weeks. Yeah, that's totally what we did. Learning.
The hot dog place is still there?
The hot dog place is still there?
Yeah, and we're going to get a room in the city and just go disappear for a
I'll tell you all the names dogs. That you need to know when you go there. That's like my place. It's like, I love that place. I'll shout them out anytime.
So funny because everyone has a place in New York. Everyone.
As a kid, did you go into the city a lot? I always, as a kid, I'm always like...
As a kid, not until I was about 16, I would say.
But like, your parents must have been like, not a chance of you getting on a
train.
Yeah,
there was no way. No way. But again, I think that internship, it was like junior year, I started that train. And once I learned that train to Penn Station, there was no stopping me. Like, I could go anytime.
You knew the schedule in the back of your head.
And as, like, yeah.
I'm going to catch the 6:42.
Exactly. Yeah. And I knew my curfew. And so as long as I was back before that curfew, I was fine going into the city. That's and they awesome. Would never know, and it'd be great. But yeah, it's New York is unlike anywhere else. And it's,
Matt, they know now.
Yeah, I know. I'll get it. Yeah, they do know. I mean, they're very aware of what I've been doing.
And they're big fans of this podcast.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I know. I will actually put money down that my wife has already told my parents that we're doing this, and they're going to listen to it. So enjoy that.
Well, it's funny. We talked earlier, but I see your wife way more than I see you because we have it here in
that sounds
Studio
so,
City.
So not appropriate.
It's, man. She's a great lady. Just let me say, I see her once a week.
I know.
She's a great lady.
I don't understand how you have that much free time to be able to go do that.
He's an actor, man.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
What are you thinking?
I have a lot of free time.
So every week, my wife goes to Pizza Rev with the kids, and you just happen to be there. I guess that's
oddly,
your weekly
at the
thing.
The exact same time. It's, we're not having an affair. It's just coincidence.
Yeah. So my question is, what are you doing to get you to Pizza Rev at that time? Because I know our schedule and why she's there.
I know I have to be home at 5 with 3 pizzas.
Okay.
It's a time thing. Everyone gets out of work, and then the kids are home at 5, and I come home with $6 pizzas, by the way.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, Andy.
You are married and have 2 small children.
Yes.
What are you doing with 3 pies?
Oh, that's a good question. How are you splitting
the
that?
The 2 small kids are splitting the pie.
Okay.
Did you think each kid gets their own pie?
Well, you said 3.
I get 3. 1 for me, 1 for my wife, 1 for the kids.
You know what?
They're single-serving pizzas.
Okay. Yeah. My son. Like
thank you for clarifying.
It's Pizza Rev.
Can you not?
Andy?
Can you? Your kids aren't old enough to do one by themselves yet?
Almost.
Okay.
Yet. She's 3.5 and 2.
Okay. Almost.
Send her over next week.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to when they're old enough to drive there and get you the pizzas.
I think he should let him walk there now.
I'm not sure I'll live that long, man. I swear to God.
It'll be good.
Did you have siblings growing up?
I did. I do. I did. Well, it's a really sad
story. You have a couple of Emmys now. Yeah. You're like, I don't even take their phone calls anymore.
I have a sister who's 4 years younger. She's also still in New York. It's great to go back. She lives in Manhattan with 2 kids. I don't know how she does that.
I don't know
that.
How anybody does that.
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody does that.
It's amazing how she's able to function with 2 kids in a room probably the size of, you know, where we're sitting right now, which is probably, you know, maybe 200 square feet.
And that's probably a $2 million, 200 square foot place.
I'm sure it costs her an arm
east.
And a leg.
It's
crazy,
right?
But yeah, it's amazing. But she's on the Upper West Side, so it's awesome to go in and we can hang out and my kids get to play with her kids and, you know, run around to like Central Park. But I do not understand.
You couldn't live there. It's great for a week.
No, exactly. Even a day is too much for me. Like,
I don't know how people raise kids.
I lose my mind.
Oh, you can't take a whole day with the kids?
No, I can take a day with the kids, but a day with the kids in Manhattan is like a whole extra level of stress for me.
Yeah.
Like, although they're getting older, but when they were younger, like when my son was like 3 or 2, I was worried he's going to run into the street. Like, it's a whole different mindset to live there than it is to live here. Like, running in the street for a brief second here, it's like the suburbs. It's not the end of the world. Like, you know you're going to catch them. That 1 second that you turn your back and they run into the street, you're panicking.
He's
for
not
going to
make it.
Yeah,
no, he's gone.
It's horrible.
That's the end. You have to get more kids.
But yeah, but now my son is all about New York and thinks it's the greatest city in the world. My daughter probably loves it even more, and I'm guaranteed she's going to live there, and she's only 4. She seems to love that place better than my son.
How old's your son?
My son's 8. My daughter's 4. So
yeah,
same split as me and my sister, which is, you know, that 4-year difference.
I do think it's cool to live out just outside, like Long Island. My wife was from Jersey, and
where in Jersey was she?
She's from outside Princeton.
Okay, got it.
We got married in Princeton.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It was a beautiful area.
I saw Princeton University, and then I was like, God, I should have worked harder in high school. I was like, yeah, this would have been really nice to go there.
My cousin went to Princeton, so I visited him, and it was the first college I visited because he was like 4 years older than me, and I was like, this is the greatest, greatest place ever. I'm gonna go here, and then I didn't get in. And
you did try that.
Yeah, I was like, that's my long shot. And no clue. No chance.
I think they say no to many valedictorians with 1600 SAT scores. Like, they say no to many people who are near perfect.
Oh my God.
I think it's the number, it's that and Harvard are the two hardest.
I'm sure.
I think you're right. They said no to me.
Did they, Andy?
Yeah. Did you apply there too?
No. I was lucky to get in where I got
in. Where'd you go?
Ohio University.
There you go.
Not Ohio State, Ohio University.
What is that difference?
They are two different schools.
I'm aware. Yeah.
Ohio State is a big, pretty good school. Okay. Ohio University is in Athens, Ohio.
It's not accredited.
It was basically, I went there, it was the center of where you got Quaaludes in the Midwest.
Okay.
And beer.
That's underage. Cosby was a big guy there.
Underage drinking.
Got it. So it was like a community college, is what you're saying.
It was one step up from there, but one step below everything else.
Well, Andy, by becoming a producer on this podcast, yeah, I think you've achieved
my career has hit a new
you've achieved as much as you're possibly ever going to achieve.
I think my certificate of graduation has gone.
I really hired.
Gone to
I
good
hire
use.
From the top of the barrel.
Where did you go?
Boston University.
Oh, okay. Fits into the Boston mold. There you go.
I was on a ROTC scholarship, and I chose to go to the place that was the most expensive place I could get to use as much as the government's money as humanly possible.
Isn't it like California, like if you go to state school, you get like benefits or something?
BU is a private school.
Oh.
So it doesn't matter.
Okay.
That would be UMass.
Got
like
it.
UMass,
got it.
You could get cheapo stuff. And
Gotcha.
You went to
Wesleyan. Yes. So that was Connecticut. It was super liberal.
Sounds like a Richie Rich school.
It was one of they call it the one of the Little Ivies.
Ah!
That says everything you need to know.
What are the rest of the Little Ivies? Bowdoin, Colgate. Yeah.
It's Amherst and Williams. So
There's
a whole bunch of the little ones, yes. But all the ones you mentioned,
And you took pride in that when you were at college.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I still take pride in
you're
it.
You're like, I'm Wesleyan, man.
It's like one of these little schools. And then I look at the other people who went there, and I'm like, you know, we did pretty good. Like,
who's there?
Joss Whedon was there, but not when I was there. What's called? Craig Thomas and Carter Baze.
Yeah, sure.
They went there. They were there when I was there. Trying to think some of the other random folk, but it was a good
BU was kind of like that. BU was like NYU, where it was like Jason Alexander. It's a huge acting school.
He just came in for Robot Chicken.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is.
He did this podcast.
Did he really?
He was the first one we ever had.
His son is coming by to pitch a show.
Gabe.
So yeah,
he's the best.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet.
He's a Yale kid.
Oh, la-di-da.
That's one of the real Ivy League schools.
See, yes, exactly. We could drive to Yale, which was like 20 minutes away from Wesleyan, to go use their library because it was a little step up from us.
Definitely a little step up.
Back when there wasn't an internet.
He's the
again.
Best. So go back. You have a sister.
Yes, I have a sister. I'm a Long Island kid. It's again, I was a Long Island kid who read comic books and, you know, just was a geek in school.
What was your dad like?
My dad was a doctor. He was an OBGYN, and I probably get the twisted sensibility from him. He was the one who would leave, you know, disgusting medical journals open on, you know, out.
Deliberately
to be like, you should really read this. This is really
important.
It's
called chlamydia.
Yeah, exactly.
Your penis will fall off.
With the images and things like that. And you'd be like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever read. You were trying to scar me. Like, still to this day, one of my favorite things was... And it's online now, but there was an article that was called Scrotum Self-Repair. It's one of the most disgusting. You should look it up. Everyone should look it up.
That was the name of my band in high school.
It was insane. And it scarred me. It scarred me for life. And my best friend at the time, and still today, he's like my brother. He lived across the street. This guy named Jeff. He left it out for us. And we started reading it. And it's all about this guy who basically was at work. He was masturbating, and his testicles get caught in a conveyor belt and gets thrown across the room. And he ends up in the emergency room where I think the pull quote was, his scrotum was, this is how much I remember it. His scrotum was swollen to twice the size of a grapefruit. And you're just like, I don't want to read this. And yet you're compelled. And so my friend, just as the internet was starting, Jeff, who was at Dartmouth, your Ivy, typed it into the internet. And I still remember just as it was starting. And then it went all over the place. And everybody was like, this is bullshit. You know, none of this is real. And then Snopes caught it and said, no, this is the real thing.
It's totally real.
It's totally real. And found the article. And we were like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing. And my friend's like, I can take credit for that. He's like, I typed that into the internet. And I'm like, that's what you're famous for. God
bless
you.
Were people questioning the fact that somebody had jerked off with a belt, like a belt sander?
Yeah, I mean, when you read this story, you're like, there's no fucking way this is true. Like, it's horrific.
But you know, we know people. The people I know, it's like, well, oh yeah, that guy would do that in a heartbeat.
Going one step further with the story, the guy, after doing it, freaked out, didn't want to get caught, and took a heavy-duty staple gun.
I saw pictures of this. I've seen this. Okay, I've seen it.
You're looking at
this. This is
right
what
now.
I'm reading on the internet right now on Snopes.
And I'm telling you, I'm quoting it verbatim because that's how much it was scarred into me as like a, you know,
I saw the
17,
years
18-year-old
ago
kid.
And they have the journal entry from the doctor for the, you know, the medical, he was published.
Yeah.
One morning, I was called to the emergency room by my head ER nurse. I'll let you imagine.
An X-ray. Is there an X-ray of it, and you can see the staples?
I don't see it here.
There might be. It's very possible.
I had seen a picture, and it looked like a giant melon.
Yeah,
and the staples were inside, and they couldn't even tell he had stapled because it had swollen around.
Yeah, it said 8 rusted staples. That, I'm telling you, I can quote it.
He was like, "I'll get away
with
this." Oh
yeah.
Is that the X-ray?
Oh, here we go. Yeah,
it's horrible. It's horrible. And again, I give all the credit
to our listening public.
To my friend,
look
Jeff.
It up yourself. It's not pretty. Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I've nicked myself with some clippers before. It wasn't stapleable. Tell me, have you not?
With what do you mean by?
I was trimming a little bit. Have you never trimmed
with
back when you were single?
With a staple gun?
I don't understand.
No, not with a staple gun.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
I was trimming.
No, but you made it sound like with like a stapler.
He was manscaping.
No, I was okay. Manscaping, but I.
That's
I,
fair.
I didn't have, and so the razor nicked me. Like drew blood. Am I the only one that's happened?
Anytime you talk about that area, just blood just
makes me
uncomfortable.
Have you never manscaped it?
Not where I'm.
I don't know where
myself.
You're from, Jamie. Yeah. I never have touched mine.
You've trimmed your testicles. I've never
touched anything down there.
Technical jargon.
It's
have
bad.
Have you trimmed the hair on your on your scrotum? Before?
I read that you can go to hell. I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but sometimes it's so long, there's no alternative but to do
so
it.
So, Matt.
So, yes.
How long have you been married?
I can't be the only one. I mean, your father's an OBGYN.
Yeah, it's stories. Yeah,
I love that he was leaving these.
This is what my dad. Yeah, that's probably where I got the twisted sense of humor.
I had another friend whose father was an OBGYN, and he told me that his father made, when the girls were in high school, he had sisters. He made the girls come and watch childbirth.
Oh my God!
So that they would be afraid to have sex.
That's very smart of him.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, that's very smart. Yeah, I mean, again,
isn't it weird having a dad who's an OBGYN?
No, I found it fascinating.
Did you guys talk stuff?
Never talked
when
about
you got
any
older
of that stuff. Again, you know, like, I think he was just trying to scare me into just being very appropriate in every way, shape, and form. Don't mess around. This is what can happen.
But like, as a kid, as a 15-year-old, you weren't thinking, God, my dad's got his hands in some.
No, you know, I never wanted to think what my dad was doing. Like, it was one of those things where I just wasn't.
My dad sold cars, and all I could think about was him trying to get somebody to buy Truecoat.
Yeah,
every day.
The flip side was I probably thinking more about what my mom did, which she was an accountant, and I was all about like, how do I deal with money? Oh my God, what
back
am I gonna
up.
Do?
Your dad's an OBGYN.
I know.
And your mom still worked.
Yeah,
as an accountant.
She was bored with us.
Can you talk to my wife? Because my wife, she does work, and every day she's like, I don't want to work anymore.
My wife's the opposite. My wife is. She works one day a week. She has a private practice, and she. Is like, when can I go to do more work? And I'm like, whenever you want, it's totally fine. And
private practice, what does she do?
She's a psychologist, so I'm getting analyzed every day.
Jesus,
even though she'll
man.
Say I'm not.
I can't even imagine.
It's, yeah. So, no,
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. She,
but you
she
seem like such
well.
A well adjusted guy, so it would seem to me that
she's very
ever...
well adjusted until you watch our show and then you realize there's something wrong from the two.
But that's how you get it out. Like, I'm the same. My wife, my wife's like, you never seem to be flustered. I go, I get it out on stage.
Hmm.
I think you do in the show, too. For those who don't know, you should go right now and watch A Robot Chicken online because it is one of the darkest sense of humor.
It is.
And at the time when you first came out, you guys must have been a little tentative about, like, are people going to accept this or is it too crazy? But it was perfect.
And even oddly, when we were doing it, when we first started, I don't think we even realized people were going to watch it because I don't think we thought about it, which is even crazier. For us, this was like, oh, we're going to do this for a few months and then we're going to go back into this comic book world and we'll figure out how to do that. You know, I drove out here with a couple guys who worked with me on comics and we all started this show together. And we all really thought we were, oh, we have to move to LA. Oh, we'll be there for like a year and then we'll go back. Like none of us thought this was a long-term situation. And
How long ago was that?
That was in 2004.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's when I started.
Yeah.
You guys, I play the bloopers host, and you guys once did an episode where...
It only got darker.
It was the darkest thing that's ever happened. I finally Harry Carry myself at the end.
Yeah. We got to that place where we're like, this character just has to keep killing himself, and how do we keep having him kill himself worse and worse? And then, yeah, we hit that place where I don't know what else we can potentially do with it. But, yeah, we got to get you back in.
But your whole sense of humor is so dark on the show. And I think but because it's done with puppets, it's the same as like South Park, where the kids are saying horrible things, but because they're animated.
And because they're toys.
And they're toys, you get away with it. Yeah. And they're toys we grew up with. That's the you're watching this childhood toy do the most sick shit you've ever seen.
The thing every writer makes fun of me for on the show is that violence is funny to me on this show. Like the more violence we can put on this show, because again, it's your toys playing with each other. And it's as a kid, that's all you did was have blow up your action figures or have them thrown across the room. So violence with these things animated makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh.
And most of the writers are like, all right, we've done enough violence. Again, their sense of humor isn't that. Seth mocks me for my violence thing. He's like, enough with the violence.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, so I have to fight again.
Do you, like, I watched John Wick, and I laughed. I don't know if I've laughed that hard in a long time.
I haven't seen it yet, and everybody keeps telling me I have to.
It's blindingly funny and probably the most violent thing you've ever seen. And
have you seen it?
Oh, you haven't seen John Wick?
I heard the second one's just as ridiculous.
I haven't seen it. I really want to. The first one, the first 5 minutes, that was the worst film I ever. I was like, this is the worst film ever. And by minute six, I was like, this is the greatest film I've ever seen.
Oh, I can't
wait. It's so uber violent. That is ridiculously funny. When you were a kid, do you remember watching like unbelievably horrible violent films that you laughed at?
You know, I would sneak down and watch all the HBO crap all the time on, you know, that you weren't supposed to be watching. But, you know, I ended up buying the bootleg VHS tapes of like Hong Kong action films. So like
you're
I was
such a nerd.
I was.
You're such a nerd. Like, I love it.
I was watching all that Jackie Chan stuff before it was happening, and like it was so exciting to see this stuff.
I think so,
and
too.
I would just go in, I knew who the guy was, and I would buy my $5, you know, VHS tape, and it would be terrible quality and I'd still watch it.
Yeah, bars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, once in a blue moon it would be porn by accident, and you'd be like, okay.
Sure, by accident.
Okay.
And you break out the belt sander.
Yeah, exactly.
And try to get some action done. Bring your stapler just in case.
I'm not gonna say that story was about me, but maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Did you get into trouble as a kid? Were you trouble at all with your dad, or were you the good kid?
I was the good kid. I was way too good. I
didn't drink.
Didn't drink.
You didn't drink?
I didn't drink for the first time I drank was probably when I was 22 or 23.
Shut the up.
How did you get through college without drinking?
I will backtrack that. I will backtrack that. The first time I drank was when I was 13, and it was horrible.
It was your dad gave you a drink and showed you photos of scrotums that were swollen.
Let's look at these photos.
Here's a cigarette. Like smoke this.
No, it was again, my friend Jeff, who always got me into trouble. We did like this cruise where a bunch of the families went. And it was like, again, you were on a cruise as 13-year-olds and anything goes. And I drank so much, not realizing what alcohol could do to you, that the next day may have been, you know, the most painful experience of my life. And I was like, I'm never going to drink again. And then
everyone says that.
I do. I stuck with it. Maybe because I was that young that I was just so...
How'd you have sex then?
I don't know.
Did you still have it. You didn't have sex.
I still haven't yet. I don't understand.
He didn't say no one he dated.
How do people have sex sober? At that age, especially. Like, I understand.
When I was 13, I wasn't.
And married. Yeah. College? Sober sex?
Yeah, I know.
Was the girl
wait
drunk?
A minute. Maybe. College, sober
maybe.
Life.
I don't know how I did it. I was genuinely the goody two-shoes. I have no idea why and how. I don't know how I got to where I was. I was painful. Yeah, I was the nerd. Come on, it was bad.
But you don't seem like a total, like, you played. I can tell you're an athletic guy. That's your interest, or nerds.
Yeah,
were your parents like, really? Is this what you're doing?
No, again, I just played. I was just that goody two shoes kid of all time. And it sounds boring, but I knew everybody. I was friends with everybody, but like, I wasn't the one going out to the parties. But I would do like the one-on-one hangouts with people where I would go to the movies with them. Like every Friday and Saturday was seeing a movie. Like it was the most exciting thing for me. Instead of going to party, what was the movie that was coming out? I have to check it out. Like that was the sensibility.
Did your parents drink?
Yeah, they get trashed.
It's great. The OBGYN and the accountant tearing it up.
No, I know. Like my mom's a wine drinker. My dad is, scotch.
Whiskey. Exactly. I could have told you that.
Yeah, it's just like.
You don't put your hand in a woman's nether region all day and not need a good shot of whiskey at the end of the day.
No, he's what caused you to take your first drink at 22?
A dare.
That's usually how it starts.
It is. I was at a dinner, and I can actually blame the person, which is a good blame. I was at a dinner at Wizard Magazine, and it was like all these big shots in the comic world. And a guy named Jim Lee, who's one of the heads of DC now, said, "Shut up, you're going to have some wine, and you're just going to deal with it." And everyone mocked me the entire dinner and made me drink, and I had two glasses of wine, and I enjoyed it, and that kind of started the spiral of like...
Welcome to world!
And yeah, now I'm a heroin addict. You know what? I can do this a few times. I could do this a little more. Yeah. And I always say, like, I probably get drunk now like 10 to 15 times a year. Comic-Con is probably 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah,
like
easily for you guys.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That and then New York Comic-Con. Like, those two are the big ones where I know I'm going to be drunk the entire time to be able to handle, because I have way too much anxiety. I have social anxiety.
But that's why I drank
believe you
so
as an
much.
Actor.
I had horrible social anxiety. That's how I would get
as an actor.
Wrecked.
So you would go into an audition. All the anxiety.
Sometimes I can't.
Baloney. No,
sometimes I eat shit. I just go in and I lose it all. Yeah.
But you still got in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that says a lot.
I'm an idiot.
You can overcome that anxiety.
I've chosen a poor profession for someone with social anxiety.
I know a good psychologist.
I'm getting better.
I know, right?
Honestly, having kids has helped.
Really?
Yeah, it makes me...
It's gone the opposite way for me.
No.
Yeah, which is even more bizarre. And I didn't expect it.
Made you more socially awkward?
Yes.
Why?
Because it gives me the excuse not to interact with other human beings. Because I'm taking care of my kids.
They are the best excuse that's
it is.
Oh, who needs an excuse?
To not interact with people? Oh, trust me, I'll come up with all of them. But like, I might even be agoraphobic in certain cases. Like, even me coming here to do this podcast, I think I pushed it once where I was just like, oh no.
Hey,
for no reason.
I do the exact same.
Yeah.
To go like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. I just have to get home to take care of the kids. Even though my wife is there, the kids can go to sleep. They're fine.
Yeah.
But it's that, like, Comic-Con next week is freaking me out to no end. I'm invited to every event and shindig I need to do, but getting me to it, I'm going to have someone literally pushing me there. And without Seth going this year, I'm doomed.
Is he not going?
No, he's in Thailand.
Oh.
He's filming a movie right now.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so.
He must be bummed because Comic-Con's kind of your guy's bread and butter.
I think because he's so happy doing this movie because he wrote and is directing it.
That's cool.
So he's in his own little world right now.
Yeah,
so
he's
and he's in Thailand. So I don't think he's that.
Just get like a Seth Green impersonator.
I have Brecken.
Oh, do you? Is he going? I'm in a red
but
wig.
But Brecken doesn't drink. So that's not going to help my cause there anyway. So
do you want me to go with you?
You might have to. Yeah, you're going to have to hold my hand.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Some people are probably, the people who are going to listen to this are definitely Comic-Con people. I just saw something about one comic book store, a famous comic book store, saying they're not going this
Mile
year.
High.
Yeah. Because they were, it does seem like it's, I remember because I lived in San Diego back when it started, and it was a huge thing, and it was literally.
You lived in San Diego?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, I was Navy.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going early
That's
on,
right.
It was like,
I go,
this is nothing but a bunch of comic book nerds.
Yeah.
And then I went back years later and I was like, this is like a television and movie festival. That's crazy. Now it's almost not even comic books anymore.
This is my 21st year going in a row, which is crazy to think about. And it has changed a lot. It went from it's a pop culture convention.
It's a pop culture convention.
Yeah, which is great and it's amazing. And the fact that something like this exists is wonderful. people get upset because it used to be this little comic convention,
right?
And they need to know it's evolved. And
they need to change the name.
Exactly. They either need to change the name, but they don't because it maintains its authenticness,
sure.
Which I totally understand. Like Mile High, it's so expensive to have a booth there, and they're never going to make that kind
of
sales.
They're never going to make the money back.
Yeah.
And, it was a prestige thing, I think. And eventually, you're like, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. I used to send away and buy comics, you know, from them, like to say the back issues I couldn't get, you know, and mail in my things that I saw their ads in comic books for.
You're such a dork.
I am. Like, it's
a beautiful dork.
Yeah. It was a good old time. But I know the time it changed, now this is going to be going too analytical. It was the time that Burn Notice took over. Like, they had big ad on the side of the convention, and I was so confused how Burn Notice had anything to do.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't like the show, I just couldn't understand how it related to Comic-Con, and I was fascinated. Are they doing a comic? Like, how does this all equate?
And they weren't.
And yeah, exactly. It turned into
its like
own.
Downton Abbey. Why is Downton Abbey here? This is insane.
It's its own little thing.
It's a juggernaut.
So yeah, are you going?
Not a chance.
Why? You don't like comics.
I don't like groups of people either. I do. I like comics. I'm not a comic book guy, but I even when I went, I watched all the people dressed up like lunatics. That's half the fun.
Yeah, right? I know.
Are you taking your kids?
No, not yet. I took my son when he was like 3 or 2, and it was a horrible experience because pushing a stroller there is the worst thing that you can do. And it was the first time my wife had gone, and she was like, "What is this smell?" And I was like, "You just have to understand that's what it's all about." And
that's what Comic-Con smells like.
It is. It's just a bunch of people crammed into a space, and it's hot and sweaty, and there's nothing you can do. Whether it be comic books or anything else you put in there, it's going to be that smell.
It stinks, yeah.
So, yeah, because I'll defend comic books. But, yes, it's a
but
it's
not
a
the smell. Place. Yeah. So, two children.
Yes, two children.
You were already doing Robot Chicken.
Yep, I was.
How'd you meet your wife?
I met Kim online way back in the day. I met Kim online.
I love the way you said
that.
Well, people don't do that anymore because now it's like a point of pride.
Like for me, it was great.
In the day, people were like, I met him online.
It was. That's what it was back then. So when I first moved out here, I knew nobody besides like Seth and like the few people who've done the show. And when I moved out here, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can meet people. And I joined like every dating site that existed. I was like, I'll meet someone through this. And then what I didn't realize upon dating, like doing all that, was Robot Chicken started and we were working like 8 a.m. to like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so I didn't respond. Like I just didn't do anything. And my wife emailed me, which I didn't even know women email people on these sites. And so she emailed me on this site. And I didn't respond. And then she emailed me a second time. I was like, who's this person who emailed me twice? I was like, that's very interesting to me. So I looked. And as she likes to point out, I asked for another picture, which is the worst thing a human being could do.
That sounds really...
It was
before
horrible.
You would go...
It was horrible.
What was the first picture like?
It was just like a really big close-up. So like... You didn't really see.
So you're like, Jesus, is she fat? I can't tell,
I
man.
I couldn't tell anything about
her. Show me her ankles. Just show me an ankle. I
didn't even
figure
see
it out.
Like, it was just like teeth. It was like a big, it was just the smile. Like, no hair. I couldn't even know if she had hair. It was really.
It was a super close-up.
Yeah, it was a super close-up. And so I asked, and so she said no, which I respect. And that made me laugh. And so we started going back and forth. And so upon going back and forth, we were just like, you know, call me one day. So we tried to call. And when I called her, I missed her. And she called me back. And I was heading out to Seth's house for a party. It was Saturday night at like 8 o'clock. So obviously she was calling me to not get me. I picked up and that call ended up being like an hour and a half. And I ended up not going to Seth's that night. But while we were talking on the phone, she said her name was Kim and she was from Phoenix. And I was like, that's so weird. I was like, I knew a Kim from Phoenix with the same last name that went on a summer program with me where we went on a teen tour together. And when I was like 15, I don't know if you know what teen tours are, but sure. It's basically camp on a bus and you travel around the country. She's like, that's so funny. I was on that.
And,
and so I was like, oh my God. And I had the biggest crush on that girl when I was 15. And I was like, this is going to be the greatest thing in my life. And so we talked for like an hour and a half, and I brought our photo album from that to the first date. And so we were looking at all these pictures together when we were kids, and you know, it was this surreal experience that all of a sudden I met, you know, my childhood sweetheart, you know, 15 years later.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it was a great story.
Were you, were you hooked then? Were you both hooked?
Yeah, I knew first date. I was like, this is.
I kind of knew first date too.
Yeah.
I went home. I actually didn't think I knew, but my friends told me, they said immediately. And I was an older dude who had dated a lot. And they were like, nope, you're going to marry that one.
So what made it different? What made it different for you? Like, how were you acting different to your friends?
I don't know why I acted different.
Now I'm curious. Now we have to ask your friends. We got to get them on the podcast.
They said they knew immediately. They go, you came back and we knew. I think I was also, I always say I was at the age where there was a law of diminishing returns. I just didn't know if I would ever do any better. Like,
that's awful.
At some point in the party, you just go, I'm out. Like you say something really funny and you know to leave immediately. And I think I was with this girl and I was like, yeah, I don't think I can do any better.
That's awesome.
And I was smart enough. It was like in Vegas. And I'm so curious what she says. Walked away.
What does she say about
that?
She
says the biggest mistake of her life. Her father still to this day is like, I told you not to marry him. It's,
oh, God.
All things a disaster.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
How long from the first date till you got married?
It was about 2.5-3 years.
So it's so funny. You knew from day one, but you dragged your
feet. Well, yeah. I mean, well, she always says it was the fourth date for her, because the fourth date, I got food poisoning. And yeah, so this
What's more sexy than that?
This one actually makes a lot of sense.
And so it was the fourth date, got food poisoning. We were hanging out. I was just feeling really sick. And then I just got up to try to get to the bathroom and throw up, and I didn't get there. And it went... the wall, the floor, like the rug, like everything that it could have gotten on.
This is on the date?
On the date, yes.
At her place. At her place.
Yes. It was just horrific. Like, it was just...
So you covered her apartment in vomit.
Completely. Absolutely horrific.
And that's when she knew
you were... Yeah, and I couldn't leave because I was so sick and I couldn't stop throwing up. That I was just sitting, I was like, I'm
laying on her bathroom floor. I was the porcelain like that.
I didn't know what to do. And so I ended up sleeping over that night, not in the way that, you know, most people would like.
Did you get
some sex? Yeah, from vomiting, of course. Yeah,
that's what got her.
Florence Nightingale syndrome. That's what happened. Oh, then she goes, I got him.
Yep. The fact that
she might have poisoned you.
She was like, the fact that I didn't throw you out says everything I need to know.
I think if you go back, you'll see it was something she gave you. It was all part of her elaborate plan. She got you sick.
Why does this chicken taste like arsenic?
Care of you. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask that. I'm going to ask her that tonight and see what she says.
And then she could also show you how great she was to you. It's a brilliant plan. Andy, am I wrong in that?
What would I know about dating?
You know nothing about
dating. Wait, what? What's your story?
No story. This is your story. We've already heard Andy's.
Okay, I'm going to hear this story after this is over.
She knew on date four. Yeah. You knew on date one.
So why did it take so long?
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you?
So about a year in, we moved in together. Okay. And then, let me think about this. And then, I proposed about half a year or so after we were living together.
My wife was like, we're not living together until I get a ring. Yeah. She was in New York, though. She had to move out here. She's I'm not moving west.
You did the long distance.
I imported.
Okay.
From New York. Yeah.
Mail order bride.
Yeah,
okay.
I got a mail order bride.
Okay.
I wish she was one of the Russian ones that just keeps her mouth shut, but she's not. She's.
When is she coming in to talk on this?
She's probably waiting next with a hammer. I don't know.
She's stuck in the garage right now.
So living together.
Yeah. And then I ended up proposing to her where the teen tour started back in New York.
Aww.
I know. Yeah. La di da.
Kids right away?
We waited. We wanted to say we wanted to wait a year of no kids. And so we waited for like a year and a half before a kid.
Now you wish you waited longer.
Probably. Yeah.
A couple more years
they're
of travel.
Great, yeah. That.
They're great.
They are.
Don't get me wrong.
But
Matt, they're great.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. That's, I know.
It's just the weight of the responsibility.
Yep. And you don't know what they're going to be like.
You guys work long hours too. Yeah, that's the
as they're getting older, you realize they start getting snarkier back. Like when they're early, you're still in that phase. You're still a glorious phase. Like three is heaven.
Three is heaven.
Wait till you get to that place where they're like, no. Like that first no, you're like, what do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
They say no at three, but they're so young and innocent, you kind of go, all right, whatever. And you can still pick them up and put them where you want them. But at a certain age, and they go, no, it must be, And I know you, so you probably hit them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No.
You've never hit your children?
No.
Not once.
No.
You paused.
No.
You see, Andy, I'm looking at you and saying,
like, who hits children these days?
People on your show and accuses them of being their kids.
I don't know.
People do hit children.
I know they do. Yeah. I mean, but not people that I want to necessarily interact with.
I mean, if they say no all the time. My little one, the two-year-old.
You could send them to their room. That's a whole different story.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's a much different experience. But yeah, it's hard. I mean, they're smart. Kids are smart.
Kids are smart.
Yeah, they know exactly when.
They probably know the internet better than you do now.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, my son is better at certain video games than I am right now, and that bothers me. Like, that's not allowed to be the case. The fact that.
At eight.
But then I think back to, like, me doing Atari. I think I was better than my
with
dad.
With the OBGYN?
Yeah.
He didn't play Atari.
Of course he did.
He did?
Yeah. What, you're not going to play, like, anything on the Switch or
I played Atari, but honestly, I haven't even played. I don't think I've played
you
anything
You wouldn't
ever.
Play Madden with...
I would now, but yeah. I don't know how to play. I'm not a video game guy.
Oh, my God.
I am.
You're in trouble.
Last thing I had was Intellivision. That's a real thing, right?
That
and
is
I had
real.
Atari.
You had Intellivision?
I had Intellivision.
Usually people
that's
go
probably
like,
worth money now.
Yeah, it's usually like Atari and then they jump to like ColecoVision, but the fact that you get that like little tiny spot of Intellivision there. They had a haunted house game that was awesome.
I had a soccer game, I think. I played Golden Tee and like Galaga, I think it was the last video.
Nice.
Okay. Do you still play like crazy?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Now they're getting crazy with the Oculus Rift.
I know. We have a Vive and an Oculus in the office, and it's like, that's a whole other world.
My buddy has one. I've worn it and played it, and I was like, if this was around when I was a kid, it's obviously going to be transformed into porn. It's coming.
Well,
is it already there?
Porn will make sure it goes forward faster. Like that. Like anything that starts in that capacity.
That's what rockets.
I'm sure that's what VR started as.
Yes.
100%.
I mean, you know that some dude's right now like programming an Oculus Rift to just get the belt sander out. You could
totally
do the belt sander to the scrotum without having to actually cut your nuts open.
It's scary to think about, but it's true. Yes. I'm worried about that.
Do you worry about your kids about... in this era a little bit?
You know, in different ways. You know, like it's like with the 8-year-old, you worry a little bit about how they're going to be treated at school. You know, like, are they going to be smart enough? Like where that stuff is. You know, the 4-year-old, it's still like, just you want to spend as much time with them as possible.
I get so scared for them.
Like what's going to happen?
Like I see sometimes when Hannah has like her feelings are hurt or something. And
oh,
she kind of pouts and cries. And I feel it. And I start to like tear up a little bit because she got her feelings hurt or something. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be okay as they get older.
Yeah, Ellie's the same way. But what you start to learn is they know that they're getting you. And so like I have this new system now where if she starts doing the pout of like, and starts crying, and then I'll be like, okay, well, I guess you can't have like a Shopkins. And then immediately it turns. And you realize, oh, you're playing me right now. Like, there is no tear. You know better, and you know what you're doing to me. 100%.
They're wonderful actors.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
I don't know my father was never around. He worked all the time. I feel
really?
Like you probably, you work long days.
Yeah, I do.
Is it hard having the two kids? And so you don't.
It is.
You come home, and you're like, are they still up?
Yeah, we got to, again, it's about scheduling the times of stuff. Where, like, I wake up early, and usually they're up at, like, 6. So, like, I'll wake up with them. I'll give them breakfast, you know, and then I'll usually take Ryder to school. So, you know, driving, I have that morning time with them. And then I'm at work till, you know, I try to leave at 6. And then from like 6, you know, 30 when I get home till about 8 when they go to bed, it's just nothing else. I put my phone away, no one can reach me. This is my kids' time. And then weekends, I try not to work like at all. Like, so I'm with them 100%. And that's why I don't interact with human beings. And it gives me my excuse to be antisocial in every way, shape, and form.
Weekends are just, it's like my wife, I go, what's the schedule? Like, she should almost print out my POD for Saturday and Sunday to let me know where I have to
be. Because now you're in birthday party hell, where you're doing just one every weekend.
Oh, one every weekend. When does that end? Never.
6 or 7, it's like, they just get smaller and like more specific.
Which is funny because at the age they're at now, they're never going to remember this.
No.
And we're like spending ridiculous amounts of money. My wife's already, she just sent the invites out for Hannah's birthday in August. It's a rainbow unicorn party.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Where?
I'm gone in August, right?
I'm not sure.
That.
Okay.
I think it's here. I think it's at my house.
Oh, wow. You're not
We've
messing
had
around.
Backyard parties before. Yeah.
That's, you see, the cost of doing backyard and the amount of cleaning up that you'll have to
it's
do
a
after.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah. So whereas I always say, if time is money, the amount of money that I would spend going to like a, what's one of those places called?
Rock the Spectrum.
Exactly.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Play place. Yeah, any of these types of places.
You knock it out in an hour and you're home.
Yeah, exactly. And they're cleaning up everything for you. So it's, you know, it's trying to balance and figure out what's the right thing to do. But you're also going to get to the place where he's doing laser tag and dads get to play laser tag. I'm all in. Like,
I'll do laser
tag. Yeah, 100%. Or there was go-karting. I was like, I didn't even know there were go-karts. I'm totally in for that.
I want to do that. Yeah. We built a puzzle this morning. It was 100 pieces. It was pretty big.
That's not bad.
Which meant I had to basically do the puzzle, which was kind of annoying for an hour.
And you thought my life was sad.
But she'll be able to do that soon.
Your life is sad, Andy.
No,
Andy's life is really sad.
Oh.
Were you ready?
And you keep avoiding the topic. Why are we not talking about this?
About Andy's life?
It's a different podcast.
The book's coming out. I don't want to tip
too much. It's a podcast we do with your wife.
Okay. I'll get her on the show. We'll see if we can make that happen.
What were the biggest changes when you had... Like, my life totally changed when I had the kids. It seems like
what's the biggest thing?
It seems easy for you.
I mean, I was a helicopter dad, so, you know, it became more stressful life in that way, where I just wanted to always be there and probably didn't give him the freedom he probably needed. So he probably depends on me a lot more now.
Is that right?
I think so, but maybe not.
Did you guys have any terrifying emergency
horrible stories?
Yeah. That make you really go, I'm not sure I really want to have kids.
No, nothing terrible like that. But it is like, it's just a lot of responsibility. Like it's
the weight of it.
It
even
is.
Even if nothing's happening.
Like you never want them to be unhappy. Like
it's crazy.
You never want them to feel a certain way. And like whenever you see them, even just straight faced, you're wondering what's wrong or
how can I bother? Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to become the nagging parent who's like, did someone bother you at work today or at school today? Did someone bother you? Yeah. Like, how do you beat the person back up? You know,
have you had to deal with other parents at schools?
Yes. Not in a bad way. Like, actually, the school people are mostly 99% great. Like, the biggest issue that I have is I'm living in Los Angeles, where probably a lot people are better off than we are in a way. So
scary, right?
Yeah. So you go
some
to
of the certain, money around this town. You're like, holy sh!
You go to someone's house and you see all the toys and you see, you know, the giant pool, and you're just like, oh, I'm gonna let this people
what's
down.
What's your father do again?
Yeah. All right.
He's in porn. He's
in
the porn.
Yeah. Exactly. So you know you have that to deal with, and then you're like, no, we have a normal life. And
does your wife ever like? My wife will sometimes like. She never sees the people who are worse off than us and go, boy, are we lucky. She only sees the people who are doing better and they go, why aren't we doing better?
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. That's how my sensibility is as well. That's all I'm seeing as well. Is look at how amazing these people are doing, and I wish I could be doing as well as them.
Is that right?
Says the guy with 30 pilots in the pipeline.
No. Again, we're doing cartoons. This isn't like... the big time movie stuff.
It's as big as card. It's pretty big. It doesn't matter.
We're on television at midnight.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just, the cult classics don't make a lot of money.
Yeah, we do. We do well.
Of course,
we do well.
Yes,
but I'm not. Again,
but I always look at the people worse off and go, "Boy, I'm doing pretty good."
Yeah.
More so than my wife is more. My wife is more so. Why aren't we doing blah this and that? And I'm like, we're actually doing pretty well.
For me, all I think about is if I. Could just live in Idaho, I would just be like, this is great because Los Angeles is so expensive. And
you'd be the richest guy I know.
It would be wonderful. Yeah. Like one of our friends just, you know, moved to somewhere in Colorado, and they have a 6-bedroom house, and it cost them like $300,000 or something like that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, $300,000 here, you'd be lucky to get like
you couldn't,
a one a bedroom. Apartment. Like, yeah.
You couldn't even get a 1-bedroom.
Yeah.
You'd still have to go out to...
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like the cost Riverside. Of living here, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's its own... Yeah, so again, you just hear these stories, but then makes me want to go to Colorado to visit these people and check out their place because, oh my God, that's probably amazing.
I've had friends who've done that, and most of them come back in a couple of years. They came back because they get bored. There's a reason that house only costs $300,000 because it's in a place where you really don't want to live.
I look forward to the day I retire and can find that place. Somewhere else to be, whether it be New York or even Long Island. Yeah.
All right, I have a question for you. Uh-oh. Is it better to have boys or girls? I only have 2 girls, and I know you have 1 of each.
Really?
And obviously, you like the boy better.
Yeah, well, obviously. No. you love them almost equally. You know, it's not again, true. it's two very different types of relationships that you learn.
Like, I never wanted boys. I only wanted girls.
Really?
Yeah, boys are a pain in the ass.
You don't want like the legacy name to,
nah.
You know, to keep going for all eternity?
Not really.
Interesting.
You know, girls don't really grow up to kill their parents very often.
Neither do boys.
No, that's who does it. It's always the boys.
Yeah, no, it's a different experience. Like, again, the things I like to do and all the geeky stuff that I like to be
able
to do.
Does your daughter not like that?
My daughter likes.
She does.
My son is all about, like, he wants to go to the hockey games. He wants to, you know, go to a basketball game or, you know, get to a baseball game and do all that type of thing. Or I want to watch Star Wars, and my son's like, no. You know, it's like,
and you're like, what?
I can't comprehend it. We went to Skywalker Ranch and had a wonderful experience up there. And my son's just like,
whatever.
What's Star Wars? Like, doesn't really, like, I don't think he's seen
it. Doesn't
them
hold
all.
Up.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
him.
No, it even less than it doesn't hold up to him. He doesn't have an interest to even watch it. Like, even take the attempt to watch it. Like,
must really hurt you.
But my daughter is like, she watches like the Star Wars Rebels. She watches like, what's called the Forces of Destiny, the girl stuff that just came out. She wants to get the toys. It's all, like, she's all about the DC superheroes now. So like Wonder Woman, Supergirl.
So she's your favorite.
So she's my favorite. No. But again, I like, again,
no,
going to, like,
you can say it. She's your, they're not gonna,
but I'm a hockey
this.
Guy going to a Kings game. It's like the greatest thing in the world. Seeing, yeah, Kings Islanders. I'm like, the fact that I can root, you know, against him, we're having a great time. It's a whole, you know, it's different experiences. That's all. You should have a son next.
My wife, she has talked about a third.
Really?
Do you guys ever talk about a third?
We've talked about it. I say no.
Two is more than enough.
Yeah, you're outnumbered.
I was filthy, if I was one of those people that you talked about, filthy, filthy rich, I'd have as many kids as humanly possible.
Why? You're not going to have the time for them.
If I was filthy rich, I would.
There's only a certain amount of hours in the day. How are you going to give it equally? You can't. You cannot.
I pick my favorites. I get rid of the others. You're confusing that the people are this. Like, I know my mother liked me best of the six children. Not even
really.
A question. I would tell her all. She would never admit to it, but she would say it with a wink.
Interesting.
I knew.
My mother actually told me that.
Really?
That she liked me
Wait,
best.
Really?
Yeah. But when I was older,
I find
she
that
you
so
were
interesting.
Favorite.
So you've always been.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
I don't know if you guys are being serious right now.
No, I'm not.
I am, actually. I'm the youngest of six, though. So I'm always, the baby's always the
Always the favorite?
Most liked. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think you like the last one best.
I don't know if that's true, because I feel like my parents liked me better, but took care of my sister better. I feel like. I could be wrong.
Maybe you didn't need as much taken care of.
Or I just didn't want to.
You sound
be.
So innocent. You didn't drink till you were
22. Yeah, I know. I never got into
nerd.
That. I heard my sister.
You've never tried drugs ever?
Never.
Never got high.
Never. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
And I make
How do you go to
and
concerts?
I make Robot Chicken.
How do you go to you?
How do you get up in the morning?
The people who are going, that dude, because Robot Chicken is people who do drugs love Robot Chicken.
The first season of Robot Chicken, the main five people on Robot Chicken that first season, four out of the five probably have never done a drug or drink.
That's everybody in that writer's room, I knew they were all nerds.
It's insanity. It's insanity. Like, I always point out that, like, they're just fucked up people. We're all just weird. It's like, I don't know.
But people who are high love Robot Chicken.
I know. That's what makes it so entertaining.
It's so amazing.
I mean, since then, our other writers, I will not say, but, you know, some may have partaked. Partook.
Partooken.
Partaken.
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 Partooken.
You know.
Yeah.
I write. Partaken. Partook.
All right. Let me.
I think it's turducken.
It's turducken. We have flown by. We can't beat you up too much.
Oh.
What are some traits that you hope your kids get from you?
Traits, huh? Independence. I hope for. Just again, like, I want them to be. What's the word I'm looking for? I want them to be able to take care of other people. Like, I want them to be
empathy.
I want empathy. Yes. I want them to be, yeah. Again, other people are just as important as them.
Isn't it weird? We created other humans,
yes,
that are going to go on to live their entire lives.
And know. And just.
And do whatever they want to do.
I don't know what they're going to be like. And
I don't
and
know
it's
either.
Fun watching them evolve. And again, seeing what they like.
Are
and
they
what
coming
they start
out anything like you expected them to?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that are making them exactly the way I want. And then there are a lot of things that you see that are just them. And you're just you're what are blown
they
doing?
What are some of the things they're doing that you're like, wow, I never saw that coming.
I mean, the fact that my daughter, like you say, with the puzzles and stuff like that, my daughter is a puzzle fanatic and can put these things together probably better than I can.
And she's four.
And she's four. And I'm just like blown away by it. And I just watch her, and if I try to help her, she will not let me in any way.
I do.
Exactly.
I do.
Yep. 100%. Yeah.
And then she loses her mind, and my daughter does.
It's unbelievable to me. And then my son is like, a socialite where, all his friends.
He's not socially awkward at all.
He gets along with everybody. Like, I watch him, and he's interacting with all these other kids in such a wonderful way.
You seem like that, though. Your social awkwardness, you just don't even go out. But when people
talk
to you, you don't seem awkward whatsoever. Yeah, you never have.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's where he sees that.
Maybe. I hope so. Yeah. But it's fun to just watch him interact. And again, he's just, he's his own kid.
What are traits of yours and your wives that you hope your kids don't get?
Don't get? Oh, God. My social awkwardness in any way. Just like overanalyzing things. I think that's probably the best thing to not get. Like, there's a point where you can overanalyze, but there's also a point where you just
are you
have
a
to
perfectionist? Do you guys?
I'm not. I will say college had taught me one thing, and it's embarrassing to say this. College taught me what to do for minimal effort for maximum gain.
That's my whole stand-up act.
Is it?
To do the bare minimum plus one.
Yeah.
Just enough to
Again,
survive.
It's like, if I spent like 4 hours on a paper, I'm going to get an A minus. If I spent 5, 6, 7 hours, I'm not going to get that A plus. But you know what? I'd probably have to spend 2 days to get that A plus. Is it worth it for that A plus? I got the A minus.
We're close. It's good. I would spend 1 hour and get a B. Because you still get the degree.
Yeah, that's true.
And
You're right.
How many people have asked for your GPA?
Oh, no, no.
Not one.
Well, that's because we're in this world. That's because we're in entertainment. Like, outside of entertainment, watching some of my friends go into that whole business world, it comes up.
Only if you went for your MBA. You needed to get to the next university, but once the degree's there, it doesn't
you
matter.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. When they're first breaking in, I have some friends who, like, got interviewed at like Morgan Stanley
and
or like
advertising.
They want a GPA on their on the resume.
So
but it's just
I
it's
always
that
say
breaking.
The,
once they've broken in, it's not an issue again.
The only A you really need to get is for Southwest. Like 40, like 24 hours. You better get the
that's,
A.
That's
or
a
you're
good analogy.
Fucked. That's yeah. really the only that's really the A in life that you need to get.
I like that.
Everything else, B. B is just good. C's
no,
fine.
I was an A kid.
Were you?
Yeah.
Such a dork.
Except in college. In college it turned into like it was like the B plus A minus range.
And you weren't even drinking.
And I wasn't even drinking. I should have done better. I should have done better.
Were you dating?
Yeah.
You dated girls
I did,
in college?
Yeah. I actually had a girlfriend of like 3 years, four
That's
years.
That's why,
because
you weren't drinking. You're like, well, I got this one. I might as well not mess around with that one. What about your wife's traits? What are traits from your wife? That
to get or not to get?
To both. A little of both.
I think she is smarter than me. She went to an Ivy. So I hope they 100% get her intelligence in every way, shape, and form in that way. And then
from Phoenix, when she went to an Ivy League
and
school.
She's great at analyzing people. So like again, like
oh,
she
shit.
Can, she'll meet you, she'll come back, and she'll be like, "This is what this person's like." And I'll be like,
"What
does
she say after our pizza rev rendezvous?"
She's
like,
"Why do you
Kaler.
Know that loser?"
She's like, "Yeah, exactly."
I saw Kaler with those kids.
She says he must be a good dad that he's there. Every day at the same time.
Or maybe he's just really
like,
cheap. And
he
gets...
said it's like clockwork. It's like if he misses it, I find it very strange. Why would he miss it? I'm like, maybe he had something else to do. I don't understand.
You know, we don't miss it. Sometimes we're a little earlier, we're a little later.
But again, it's that sensibility from her that makes me laugh.
The part we're not talking about is that she's there at the same time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, she's coming, I think, from it's tennis, which is right after, and it's right by Pizza Rev. So it's like the quick drive over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ours are different times and stuff. The other day I went like 8 p.m. I like these.
Your kids are awake.
We
awake
get sponsorship by Pizza Rev.
What you are should.
What are treats
totally
from
plug.
Your wife that you wish your kids don't get?
Don't get the overanalyze. I can quickly say this. Like, she will hyper focus on getting something done, and she's the perfectionist. It's the opposite of what I said of the of doing it. So like, if she has to get something done, it has to be spot on. She'll spend an hour writing an email.
I just
was sure.
My wife does the same thing. And I go, Kate, just press send. Yeah. Nobody gives a shit.
I'm telling you, and I say it's probably going to take you. the person reading it is going to maybe glance at it.
That's what,
like, and get the purpose of it. And this is what it's going to be. She's like, you don't understand the world I live in. And I'm like, so then I actually went to an event for her, which is like, again, all psychologists. Right. And I'm like, oh no, I understand why you're paying attention to every word right now. Like, you meet other people in this industry, you're like, oh, every word means something right now.
They, I guess they do.
Yes. But when dealing with like someone who has to come fix something in our house, they're not looking. I can guarantee you they're not looking in that. But she'll spend, got to be specific.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My wife, and she's like, oh my God, I got so much stuff. I go, just fucking send. Just go, man. Nobody cares.
No, it's, yeah. But again, that's what makes it also, you know, the
isn't it weird? We get so obsessed with these little things in this life. Yeah. It's like, my wife sometimes, she'll be like, you know, she'll just make the biggest mountain out of it. I go, listen, one day something bad's going to happen. It has to. It's life. This isn't it. Can we stop worrying about this? And
Yeah.
I mean, instead of complaining about stuff, it's like, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah. It's,
we have
look,
two healthy kids.
Everybody goes through the insanity of, like, even with our first kid, my wife was on bed rest in the hospital for 9.5, 10 weeks where she had to live there. And we were like freaked out that we're going to lose the baby and all this crazy stuff.
Oh, before the baby
before
was born.
The baby was born. Oh. And so like, so at 23 and a half weeks, she went into the hospital and she ended up getting to 32 weeks, but we didn't know if we were going to get there. And it was like that paranoia of like, oh my God.
So, right, so if she goes, she goes.
So that's how I, yeah, exactly. So that's how I've justified for me why I was a helicopter dad, because I was all freaked out by it. But
we were both early, a month early. So they were little, they were 4 pounds or something. They were
oh, really?
So tiny.
Wait, how early?
Month, almost a month early.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah, our second
both
one was
just popped right out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. The first one was 32 weeks. The second one was 35 weeks.
For it's us. Terrifying.
It is. It is.
People don't understand how terrifying childbirth is.
No.
They go, hey, I'm going to have a baby. And you're like, you know,
people, it's a lot of
50 years ago, a lot of people died. Yeah. Still, people still die from
it. It's insane. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say that my favorite, the second one, Ellie, because my wife had the issues the first time, the second time around, she was on bed rest at home as opposed to being in the hospital the whole time. But, you know, we go every week to check and all this. And the 35th week, my wife's like, oh, I'm just going to go to the bathroom before we leave. And then the doctor put his hands on my shoulders and was like, get to the hospital as fast as you can. And I was like, what? And he's like, I feel his her feet. I'm going to need you to get to the hospital. I'll meet you there. And like, he left. And so I tell my wife, I'm like, we're going to go to the hospital now. She's like, all right, I'm speeding. I'm going as fast as I can. I'm like, I couldn't even park the car. I dropped her off. They took her in. I go to park the car. By the time I parked my car and got up there, she was almost out. Like, it was like instant. Like, it just was, it was that fast. The second
it was that fast.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. I have no idea how that worked.
The way had been paved.
It was. Yeah. But yes, again, that whole paranoia of not knowing any of this sort of stuff. So anybody out there trying to have kids, feel the stress.
It was funny too, because first she couldn't get pregnant for a while. She was like, maybe it's you. Gosh. And I go, it's not me.
Yeah.
I go, it's you and you're stressed. I go, if you stop stressing.
I like that you're blaming her.
I go, well,
how
she
dare
blamed, she blamed me first. But I knew. She goes, maybe it's you. And I go, it's not me. I know it's not me. And so she was like, yeah. And I think women have to not stress so much.
I don't know.
I think a lot of times the body knows when it's supposed to happen. This is two guys talking
about
how
yeah.
women have babies.
Wait, you know what?
What is that guy talking about?
I should ask my dad.
Nature knows what it's doing.
Yeah. I don't know. The first one for us was instant. It was like,
chicken
as soon as we decide, yeah, we're
pull
like,
the goalie.
And then, yeah, we were like, the second one, it was like, you know, we were trying for 2 years. It was
you
just,
were.
Yeah. It was like insane. So, well,
it's also because we're not having kids at 20 anymore.
Exactly.
You know, you're, yeah.
Well, you know the time limit that you have to have a kid by. Otherwise, your wife doesn't.
Otherwise, you're Janet Jackson.
Yeah, exactly.
And who knows what happened there? That's something weird that happened there. It's so funny. He was starting to start. Now the story starts.
Yeah, I know.
You see it, Andy? Right at the end. As we
right at the end.
We broke him down.
Bye.
No. This is your last question. I'll let you off the
hook. Last question. Uh-oh.
This a mantra that you would pass on to your kids.
Mantra.
A slogan, maybe your dad shared it with you, something you lived by. I'll tell you one of our favorites, Bert Kreischer. You know Bert Kreischer? He's a comic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I do know.
Really
I don't know personally. But
he had a mantra for his kids, and it was eat shit, cash checks, which I loved so much. He was like, just do the job and make money. But the way he said it was so great. And everyone has come in with like something their father told them or something they pass on to their kids, you know, don't sweat the little stuff or something. Is there something that you live your life by?
You know, it's I mean, it's stupid to say, but be responsible while following your dream. You know, it's...
Ooh, this is a new one, Andy.
Look, anybody who wants to get into a certain field and is like, I'm going to drop everything and just go to it, and then lives for like 5 years not doing it because it's so hard to break in. No, you got to find the way in. There are always paths to get in.
Or the path may be open to other paths.
Yes.
Because how many people do we know who came here to do one thing
and it's turned into something completely different?
All of a sudden, like, they're the head of a studio and they came here to be an actor.
100%.
Yeah.
It's get yourself responsible jobs and you can be doing the other thing. Yeah. Look, I was working at a magazine while doing the Seth stuff, you know, on the side or at night, you know, and then it just, you know, I was writing while going to college or doing my internships with comic books while going to college at the same time. It's like you find the paths.
I had a friend who bartended with me when I first moved here, and he'd be the guy. He'd book like a Heineken commercial and then walk into the bar and go, oh, fuck you, I'm out of here.
Wow. And then,
you know, like 3 months later, after the residuals would wear out, he'd come back and say, can I pick up some shifts? Like, not responsible at all. I was like, dude, why would you do
that? You burn the bridge.
But people always, they come here and they go, if you have a plan B, you'll never succeed at plan A. And I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
It's, you never know what the journey, what the path leads.
I agree. And then on top of that, the people you start with are going to be the people in charge, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later. What I also love about Comic-Con is the people I started with however many years ago, we do a dinner, and that first time we were doing a dinner, we were nobodies.
Right.
And now, like, it's like...
Yeah, the guys.
These are the guys who have their own shows, head studios. Yeah. Like, you just sit there and you're like, it's amazing how we all got here when we were crappy interns, you know, saying who's going to pick up the check. Now it's what company is going to pick up
that's
the check.
That's so funny,
and it's wonderful to see.
Because,
yeah.
It's going to be great. It's a whole you guys worked
world.
Really hard for it, though. I mean,
it's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
It really has. And, I'm surprised. I'm still surprised we get paid to play with toys. So
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I actually going to see the studio and seeing my character to see them sit and do.
Do you have one of those?
I don't.
I'm gonna have to get you one.
I need one.
Yes, I'll get.
Oh,
you one.
Oh, you're kidding?
No, I'll have to get
I
you
the
one.
Bloopers
of those.
Host.
Yeah, we have a bunch of them in the office.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I know.
Dude, you are so awesome. Huge thanks to my friend Matthew Senreich.
There you go.
Is that Senreich.
Yeah.
Senreich. Coming to join us from Robot Chicken.
It's always a pleasure.
People should come find you and see what's on now. Super Mansion.
Super Mansion is
Star Wars is coming
out. Crackle. Star Wars is not coming up.
What's the Netflix one?
The Netflix is called Buddy Thunderstruck.
That's not out yet, though.
It is out on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's a kid show. And then Robot Chicken will be in October, and then a special will be in October, which I can't talk about too much right now. And then for Christmas, the new season. Yes, I know.
So secret. I'll put some links to all the Robot Chicken
awesome.
Stuff online.
Yes.
Dude, you're a rock star. I know this is not
your
world.
You're geeking out in a weird way.
I love that you came to do this. Most of the time we talk to performers and actors who want to tell
stories.
Are you
kidding
me?
You can get any of our fools to come do this in any way.
It's so amazing.
Seth would probably do this in a heartbeat.
Once he has, we got to get him to have some kids, man.
Oh, that's true. It's a little kids
it's
thing.
About kids.
Oh, you and your kids. Okay.
It doesn't have to. Maybe we'll let Seth slide.
Okay. There's one or two other people who I think you'll appreciate in this capacity.
All right. Yeah. We'll bring him
in. I'll send him your
way. I love it. Because it is fun. It's funny to hear other people talk about their kids, because it's one thing we just don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You think you're the only person going through that crazy bed rest and the terror. And then you talk to other people and you're like, oh no, so-and-so, this happened. Everybody's going through
the same thing.
The same crazy
exactly.
shit.
Exactly. So, and even the weird hospital experiences, you run into someone you know there and you're just like
they're
our
in the
next
boat.
Door neighbor was someone who we'd known for however long.
Yeah.
And it was just bizarre, random experience. Life is bizarre, random
Life
experiences.
Is bizarre, random experiences.
Yes.
My guest today, Matthew Senreich. Thank you so much. Keep an eye out for Robot Chicken. Big thanks to my producer, Andy Lerner.
You bet.
And we'll catch you guys next time here on Father Time.
Thanks, guys.